Logo, Crown Media Productions. Titles, Hallmark Channel presents. A city surrounded by mountains and snow twinkles under a night sky. Large structures shaped like ornaments extend from its center and surround a large, brilliant white star. North Pole, open for Christmas. On the streets of the North Pole, elves walk past beautifully decorated and lit storefronts. Lori Loughlin. A dark-haired elf walks past several others, waving at them happily. Dermot Mulroney.
Good morning.
Ava Telleck, Paul Stewart. Marsha Bennett, James Thomas.
Merry Christmas.
Donovan Scott, Derek McGrath. In a large, colorful warehouse, a toy train runs on oversized brass rails through a red and white workshop. The dark-haired elf enters.
Clementine, you're early. Interns don't usually show up till 9.
Oh, what? When there's new trampolines that need fixing?
Well, we've got another problem to deal with.
They walk up to an elf who raises his eyebrows.
The thing is, the zing of these balls is too much.
He bounces the ball and it shoots to the ceiling like a rocket and bounces around the warehouse uncontrollably. Clementine smiles.
I see.
I guess we'll have to scratch that whole batch.
Another taller elf frowns. She frowns, then gets an idea.
What if we cut these in half and attach them to the bottom of shoes?
I don't follow.
Well, cut in half is half the bounce. And for kids to play hoop, that's a perfect amount of spring in their step.
Well done, Clem.
Thanks, Blisby.
She smiles with satisfaction as the others stare at her. Outside, a building is adorned with white Christmas lights. Produced by Irene Litinsky. Executive producer, Joel S. Rice. Based on characters created by Greg Rawson and Brian Sawyer. In the building, elves sit at tables drinking coffee and eating sweets. An older elf turns to Clementine.
Good work today, Clem. Interns don't usually invent new products.
Well, the way I see it, a problem is just a snowball waiting for a target.
Directed by Douglas Barr.
Maybe that's why word gets around.
Santa Anderson walks to them.
Clementine.
All the elves stand as Santa walks up.
Later, guys.
I heard you did a good job today. You march to your own glockenspiel, Clementine.
Thank you, sir. My mom says that if we had a snowflake for every new idea that I chased, we'd have an avalanche on our hands.
That's why I'm here today. Shall we go to my office and have a little chat?
I love
Santa's house gleams warmly, set against trees that glow with white lights. Inside, Santa pours tea.
As you know, getting around the world in one night isn't easy. The further my sleigh gets from North Pole's magic, the more power we need.
He hands her a mug.
You do log in a lot of frequent flyer miles.
Which is why we built the power station.
And points at a screen.
Without those points of magic around the globe, my journey would be impossible. So, Clementine, what do you say to another special mission?
I'd be totally iced.
Well, there's a woman down south who's at her crossroads. She inherited one of our stations, an old hotel that's gone dark.
Vermont.
On screen, a white patch turns red.
If its magic isn't lit up by Christmas Eve, well, I think you know what's at stake here.
How much does she know?
Nothing.
How much can I tell her?
I'm afraid she's going to have to come to certain realizations herself.
Clementine shakes her head.
Needless to say, this will be the greatest challenge you've ever faced.
I'm honored, sir.
She smiles and stands.
And I'm in.
Her name is Mackenzie Warren.
Now an elegant Mackenzie stands in a well-appointed house,
pretty,
looking at the artwork as a man watches her.
This I can sell.
She picks up a golden statue and studies it.
18 carat. Worth more melted down. Something to think about.
Suddenly she stops and looks to the side.
Well, that's interesting. Lola, would you mind standing up?
Lola, an older woman, gets up from a chair as Mackenzie walks to it.
16th century Elizabethan in really good condition.
Oh, that's not for sale, Mackenzie.
Oh, I understand your hesitancy, and you'll excuse me for saying, but if there's one thing I've learned in my 20 years of appraising estates and property, these are just things. A month from now, you will be living in Boca Raton, swimming and playing golf, and this antique chair could be collecting dust in a corner or pay your country club dues for a year.
Maybe you're right.
Holding on to the past keeps us from moving forward. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
Oh. She walks to a chandelier and stares at it.
Now there's your kitchen makeover in Boca.
Later, she crosses the street carrying two coffees. She walks up to a Santa at a Salvation Army stand.
Merry Christmas.
Good morning, Ed.
She puts money in.
Here you go. Bagel, light cream cheese, coffee.
Hands him breakfast.
You're the best.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Then walks off. Later, she walks into a building. Now she's on the phone.
I'm available 24/7, night or day.
She hangs up as a tall woman appears.
Nice work on the Campbell estate. That's why you're our number one. You can talk people out of anything.
Thank you, I think.
The boss points at a small Christmas tree.
That needs water.
It's plastic.
Any plans for the holidays?
Not really. Just going over inventory for the New Year's Day auction.
I envy you. I have a minivan full of relatives coming in. If you ask me, Santa has the right idea. Only visit people once a year.
The boss walks out.
Christmas party in the conference room. You coming?
And catch up with people I haven't seen in 20 minutes? Of course.
Now at an elegant townhome, Mackenzie prepares a frozen dinner. She opens the door to an older, heavyset man.
Can I help you?
Miss Warren?
Yes.
Peter Elfman, Esquire. We spoke on the phone about
He hands
your
her a card.
Aunt's estate?
Oh, yes, of course. Please, come in. I'm Mackenzie.
Thank you.
He steps in.
Nothing like the smell of a plastic Christmas tree.
Would you like some coffee?
Oh, that would be lovely.
Cream and sugar?
Just black.
She steps away as he looks around.
Just moving in?
No, I haven't gotten around to unpacking quite yet.
How long have you lived here?
A year. I move a lot for work. 6 times in the last 8 years, so I have
She pours a coffee.
The art of living out of boxes.
Sounds like you haven't found a place you can call home yet.
She steps to him.
Well, let's just say I'm better at appraising homes than I am living in them. Please, sit down.
Oh, thank you.
They sit and she hands him the coffee.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Why are you getting in touch now? It's been almost a year since my aunt passed away.
Yes, it's taken us this long to organize her things.
Oh, well, she always was a free spirit.
You two were close?
Very. For a while. I used to go to her inn when I was a little girl every Christmas. Oh, I love that place. And my Aunt Grace, most of all.
It's my guess the feeling was mutual. She left you an early Christmas gift.
He hands her a brochure.
The Northern Lights Mountain Inn.
Mackenzie looks shocked.
She left me the inn?
Indeed she did.
Why me? I haven't spoken to her in a lifetime.
Be that as it may, she chose you. Paper's quite clear on that.
I can't believe it. That was so kind of her, but what am I going to do with a hotel in the middle of nowhere?
When was the last time you were there?
Second grade?
I'm afraid it's lost a star or two in the guidebook since then.
She looks at the brochure regretfully.
Well, I suppose I'll have to sell it. I guess there's a realtor up there I could call.
Why don't you go up there and take a look at the place first? Seeing something in person can open your eyes to all sorts of possibilities.
Well, you've given me a lot to think about.
Well, don't take too long.
He stands.
There's a large tax bill due at the first of the year. Uncle Sam may have a beard, but he's no Santa Claus. Well?
Peter picks up his hat as she notices his pointy ears.
Merry Christmas.
He walks off.
Merry Christmas.
She watches him go, looking taken. He smiles at her from the door, then leaves. She glances at the brochure. Later, she walks to a box and opens it. She rifles through it and pulls out a framed photo. In it, a young Mackenzie smiles and hugs a woman in front of a Christmas tree. In a flashback, young Mackenzie runs down some stairs into a large ballroom in which a Christmas tree is set up. They run around the tree, then scurry into the kitchen.
Slow down, Mac. You're missing the treats along the way.
Mackenzie runs back to the counter and grabs a treat, then runs off. A large ornament glows on a table.
Look at the ornament. It's glowing.
That one's my favorite of all.
Mackenzie rushes up the stairs as her aunt chases her. In the present, Mackenzie looks pensive and grabs her phone.
It's Taylor. Whatever you have to say, say it in 5 seconds.
Taylor, it's Mackenzie. I'm going out of town for a few days, but I'll be back for the auction. Merry...
Mackenzie hangs up, looking surprised.
Christmas.
Now snow falls in a quaint Vermont town. Mackenzie drives her SUV through the town's main streets. Kids play happily on the sidewalk as she drives past idyllic storefronts. Later, she walks to a real estate office and climbs the steps to the porch. She steps in and sees a man working under his desk.
Hello.
Hi.
She steps to him.
Are you the realtor?
Thankfully, no.
A man appears.
Harris Hanover.
Oh, Mackenzie Warren. My Aunt Grace owned...
The Northern Lights Mountain Inn?
Oh, you know it then.
Every nook and cranny.
It's not an English muffin, Ian. I tried for years to get Grace to sell.
Harris walks to his desk.
The pit is a teardown just waiting to happen.
I couldn't disagree more.
Well, I guess it's my money pit now.
And you're not the country innkeeper type.
No, actually, I'm the director of acquisitions at Carlisle's New York.
Well, then you know the value of a good piece of property.
She sits as Ian looks at her.
Will you hand me the Allen wrench there?
What?
She hands him the wrench as he gives her an intrigued look.
Here you go.
Thanks. You know your wrenches.
W.G. Allen filed the patent for the original in 1909. Brought in 5 figures at auction.
Well, what can you tell me about the compound sliding Midas saw?
Not a lot.
Too bad. I was about to propose.
Mackenzie smiles as Harris leans forward.
The inn is a relic. Except for your aunt's annual Christmas party, the place has been pretty much empty for years. On the bright side, I do have a prospective buyer who's interested in taking it off your hands as is.
Well, she's not selling it as is.
Mackenzie looks surprised.
What I mean is, if you spruce it up a little, you get a better price.
Better yet, if you sell it right now, you'd be done with it.
Then the new buyer tears it down. This is a landmark.
It's progress.
This is the history of our town.
Don't listen to him. He's adverse to making money.
Ian shoots her a look.
Maybe I should see it first.
Of course.
Harris holds out his card.
Give me a call when you do.
I will. It was nice to meet both of you.
She walks off. Jeez. Harris gives Ian an annoyed look as they both stand.
I'm done. Can you fix it?
Nope. I recommend you tearing it down and buying a new one.
Outside, Ian follows Mackenzie.
Hey, I'll walk you to your car.
Oh, well, it's 10 feet away.
Well, we'll walk slowly. Apologize for him. He's always been pushy and annoying, but he's my brother, so I put up with him. Ian Hanover.
They shake hands.
Mackenzie Warren.
Is that Mrs. Warren or Miss?
Are you asking if I'm married?
She opens her door.
No, just the little small town conversation.
It's Miss.
He grins as she shuts her door and drives off. At the North Pole, the Northern Lights glow in green. A white reindeer-drawn sled streaks across the sky.
We've got a mission, Randy!
Clementine drives. She laughs as she races over the landscape. At night, Mackenzie drives past a sign reading, the Northern Lights Mountain Inn. She stops her car in front of an old building and walks to the passenger's door. She grabs her suitcase and faces the building.
Hasn't changed at all.
She walks to the steps and grabs the railing, which is loose.
Well, maybe a little.
She looks at a light next to the door, which flickers.
Okay, maybe a lot.
The light goes out. Oh. She walks into the inn and looks around emotionally. She smiles as she reads a sign that says, "As you rush down the path of life, take time to see the snowflakes." A man with white hair comes down the stairs.
Hello. Welcome to the Northern Lights Mountain Inn.
Thank you.
Hey, here, let me take that.
He takes her suitcase and steps away.
Thank you.
Now, the inn was established in 1820 as a
home away from home.
Though you stayed with us before?
Oh, a long time ago.
Oh, my goodness. Mackenzie. You may not remember me. Wilson?
Wilson. Of course I remember you. Oh, I'm so sorry I didn't recognize you. Oh,
well, I've gotten dramatically better looking over the years.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
Grace's lawyer said you might show up. I'm glad you did.
Me too. She smiles and looks around. So quiet.
Yes, well, we've lost some staff. Vacationers prefer the new resorts in town these days, and, well, the locals may love this place, but they sleep in their own beds.
Wilson, are you saying that I'm the only guest?
You're not a guest. You're family. Now, would you like a little look around before I show you to your room?
Oh, I would love that. Later, Wilson shows her through a door.
Grace kept on top of things, but these last few years...
She steps into a room and notices the ripped wallpaper.
Well, it's an old place, and it's seen a little wear and tear.
Oh, I see Aunt Grace's collections are still intact.
Yeah, she acquired everything from hats to hammers. If it was quirky and fun, she just had to have it.
She walks to a table of trinkets. Bookends could bring in a pretty penny.
I suppose. They were there long before me.
She looks at the items. No. Maybe. No. Then walks to a side table and looks at a lamp. Pretty, but worthless.
You used to like to read beside that lamp.
Shows you what I knew back then.
Just an old lamp. But worth isn't always a number, is it?
Oh, it is in my world. Wilson raises his eyebrows. Later, they walk into the ballroom. I remember when this room used to be full of people and laughter.
And music. Like a Christmas symphony.
She looks around regretfully. He shows her into another room where the glowing ornament sits on a mantle. Oh. Aunt Grace's favorite Christmas ornament. I remember that spinning.
Spinning? Yes, quite correct.
An older woman enters. Oh, Mackenzie. Betty, you're still here. Oh, you look wonderful. Thank you, dear. I see you're still wearing your famous Christmas sweaters, a different one every day. I'm happy to make you one. Oh, no, I wouldn't want you to go to all that trouble. No trouble at all. Oh, Betty. Where's the rest of the staff?
Just us now.
Mackenzie looks surprised. You two take care of this whole place?
Let's just say that it keeps us young. And on that note, let's show you to your room.
They walk out as Mackenzie glances at a portrait of her aunt. I've missed you, Aunt Grace. Now she follows Wilson and Betty up the stairs. Shouldn't we take the elevator?
No
elevator. Got it. They show her to a room where she looks breathless. Good night, dear. Good night, Betty. Good night, Wilson. They leave as she looks emotional. Meanwhile, Clementine is on the sled.
Attaboy, Randy!
She races across the sky and looks down at the Vermont town.
Ooh, what a nice town!
Mackenzie looks at the framed photo of herself and her aunt. She puts it down, then steps to a painting of the North Pole with its large glowing star in the middle of the large structures. Suddenly, she looks to the side and peers out the window. A trail of white glitter streaks across the sky. Now Clementine secures her saddle in a small barn and turns to her reindeer.
Nice landing, Randy. I love the new fort like a touchdown. You'll be nice and warm in here.
She pets
him. I'll check back in the morning. Night.
Then walks off with a suitcase. She turns off the lights, then closes the barn door. She smiles and walks to the main inn. Later, she enters through the front door as Wilson greets her.
Hello?
Oh, hi. You must be Wilson.
And you must be Clementine. We've been waiting for you. Did you bring any luggage?
She holds up her small case.
Just carry on.
How was your trip?
Great. I caught a little turbulence over the Arctic Circle. Brr.
Hot snow koa coming up.
Great.
Follow me.
She follows Wilson down a hallway.
Has she checked in yet?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Later, she walks into her room and looks around. She smiles and sits on the bed, opening her case. She pulls out a red PA mouthpiece and speaks into it.
Santa, I'm in.
She giggles. In the morning, Mackenzie wakes in her bed at the inn. She walks to the window and sees Clementine walking across the snow. Clementine stops and waves to her. Mackenzie smiles back. Later, Mackenzie walks into the kitchen where Wilson and Betty sit and eat with Clementine.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mackenzie, this is Clementine, my grandniece. Her parents are working, so she'll be staying with us for the holidays.
Clementine waves.
Hello. Well, as someone who used to spend Christmases here when I was a little girl, I promise you're going to love it.
I already do.
Mackenzie pours a coffee.
You have the shiniest hair.
Thank you. It's eggnog shampoo.
Sounds sticky.
It's real popular where I'm from.
And where's that?
Up north.
Canada?
A little north of that. More like Canada adjacent.
Would you like to join us for breakfast?
Oh, no, coffee will be fine. We were just saying how sad it would be if this place had to close.
I suppose I could always find another job. I'm not that old.
Still, it wouldn't be the same.
Mackenzie looks down.
Well, I thought that sound system was broken.
It is.
She steps out of the kitchen and walks to the ballroom. Ian is on a scaffolding working on wires.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mac.
Oh, actually, nobody calls me that, at least not anymore.
That's too bad. I like it.
He flicks a switch and all the lights go out.
What happened?
The wiring in this place is just about shot.
This is awkward.
He takes a pen from behind his ear.
What is?
Well, I hope you don't think that I hired you yesterday.
No, I didn't.
Then what are you doing here?
Don't worry, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the inn.
You do know the inn is an inanimate object.
Not to me. I've always looked after the place. In fact...
He steps off the scaffold.
Your aunt and I were really good friends. She meant a lot to me. So my contractor and I, we lend a hand when we can.
Contractor?
Yeah, she's outside shoveling snow.
Mackenzie looks surprised.
Look, I hope you don't think that I don't appreciate all of this, because I do, but after I've seen all the work that this place needs, I think it's best I take your brother up on his offer.
You mean sell it and have him tear it down?
Maybe they'll put something better in his place.
Yeah, sure, like a condo development, maybe a strip mall.
Daddy!
A little girl runs to him.
Mackenzie, this is my contractor, Jenny.
It is a pleasure to meet you, Jenny.
It's Christmas break, which when you're a single dad means instant work crew. Not to mention, this is her favorite place in the world.
It was mine too when I was your age.
What about now?
Well...
Do you have kids?
No.
A husband?
Ian looks anxious.
No husband.
Jenny, why don't you run and get your stuff?
Jenny runs off, then turns to Mackenzie.
Excuse me? Do you have a pet?
No.
Houseplants?
Plastic.
A car?
It's leased.
Leased?
Mackenzie nods as Jenny turns to Ian.
Commitment problems.
She runs off as Mackenzie gapes.
Sorry about the interrogation. Now, my old contractor was much... quieter.
It's okay. She's adorable.
Yeah, she's a really good kid. And persistent. And by persistent, I mean relentless.
Lynn, Mackenzie walks with Ian through the inn.
It's not that I have a commitment problem, per se.
Well, you didn't hear that from me.
Oh, I move around a lot for work. And, well, when you don't stay in one place, you have to give up things.
Like relationships, dogs, cats, and plants. It must be hard.
I'm used to it.
Jenny walks up with a candy cane.
This is a thank you.
For what?
My dad says you're gonna fix this place up and turn it back to the way it used to be. He said it used to be magical.
Yes, it was.
Actually, sweetie, I think Mac has decided to let the place go and move on.
You mean the inn's not gonna be here anymore?
Well, that depends on who buys it.
I know it seems unimaginable not coming back to a place you love, but there will be so many other special places you'll go to.
Places as special as this?
Mackenzie searches for words and steps to a small table.
You know what?
As Clementine and Wilson peer over the banister, Mackenzie hands Jenny a snow globe.
Keep this, then you'll always remember it here.
Thank you. I can never forget this place, ever.
She hugs Mackenzie as Ian grins. Mackenzie smiles at Jenny and Ian moves her away gently. Clementine and Wilson watch as Mackenzie dials on her phone.
Harris, this is Mackenzie Warren. Hold off on that prospective buyer.
Clementine looks pleased.
I'm gonna fix the place up first.
Mackenzie hangs up. Later, she walks down the stairs.
Gang, Betty?
Clementine, Betty, and Wilson walk to her.
Oh, can I talk to you for a moment?
I've decided to make a commitment to the inn.
You're keeping it?
No, but I'm gonna fix it up so the new owner thinks twice before tearing
Clementine
it down.
And Wilson exchange
now,
looks.
I'm only here until Christmas, so this'll have to be fast and furious. Wilson, do you know any handyman in town other than Ian Hanover?
Why would you want someone else? He's the best.
Not to mention good looking and dependable. He's raised his little Jenny since his wife died.
She died?
When the girl was just a baby.
You won't do better than Ian.
I'm sure you're right. I just got the sense that he might be too attached to this place.
But isn't that a good thing?
Oh, not in my experience. If we want to get this done, we've got to forget about the past and not get caught up in the memories of what this once was. Now, I've Googled resorts in town, and it's obvious that this place needs some updating.
Well, you know what this place has that the other places don't? Charm.
Yeah. You know what those places have that this place doesn't? Guests.
Ouch.
Clementine rings a bell as Wilson laughs.
First thing we need to do is inventory what needs to be fixed.
Now Mackenzie and Clementine walk together.
Without.
Oh, great. Would you mind if I shadowed you? I'm considering a career in hotel management.
All right, then, you're hired.
They walk into a dining room.
You know what we can't live without? A Christmas tree. Or two.
Okay, you're in charge of trees.
Perfect. I promise to go out on a limb for you.
Oh, I see what you did there.
They walk to a hallway.
Do you like to make lists? Oh, like a naughty and nice list?
I was thinking a list of things wrong with the inn.
Sounds like a short list.
Then up to a large elevator door.
Got it.
Mackenzie presses a button and the door opens halfway and closes again repeatedly. She presses the button again and points at Clementine.
Elevator. Check.
Mackenzie tries to open another door and removes the knob.
I got it.
They walk off. Later, they sit together near a fireplace.
How did Aunt Grace manage this place and make it look so easy?
Well, Christmas in the heart puts Christmas in the air.
How many fixes on that list?
Clementine looks at her list.
64 must-dos.
Make that 65.
Wilson enters.
You look beat.
Oh, beat and overwhelmed.
Can I get you anything?
Yes. Ian Hanover's number.
Oh, don't bother. He never answers his phone.
How does he get any business?
You'll just have to go and see him.
Clementine shrugs. In daytime, Mackenzie and Clementine walk along the town sidewalk as snow falls.
My dad traveled a lot for work. The holidays were his busiest time of year, so he'd send me out here to spend Christmases with my Aunt Grace.
What about your mom?
She wasn't really in the picture.
I'm so sorry.
I loved it here. It's the happiest time of my life. For a while, anyway.
What changed?
Well, one year, I had the strangest dream that I went to this magical city. I was so sure that it was real.
Clementine smiles knowingly.
My dad became convinced that Aunt Grace was a bad influence. Too eccentric. I guess I did sound pretty crazy.
And you never went back?
No.
Why not?
I grew up.
Clementine looks down as a woman rushes up.
Hello. Can I help you?
Look how pretty that wreath would look on the doors at the inn.
The inn?
Yes.
Then that means you're Mackenzie. Oh, your aunt talked about you often. Oh, I miss her.
The woman hugs Mackenzie.
Are you still putting on the big Christmas Eve party? We all so look forward to it every year.
No, I'm afraid not. Actually, I'm selling the inn.
Oh, what a shame. That inn meant a lot to this town. But, Merry Christmas anyway.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
They walk past the woman.
Samples!
A young man appears with a tray of muffins.
Samples!
Ooh, absolutely!
Clementine walks to him as he stares at her.
Do you live around here?
Just visiting.
I'll be at the sawmill.
Mackenzie walks off as Clementine smiles flirtatiously at the young man.
It's a cool hat.
Yeah. Yours too. You get up north?
Yep.
Dazzy.
Yeah. Real dazzy.
Now Mackenzie walks up to a building with a sign reading Woodworks.
Hello?
Inside, Ian works in the shop wearing ear protection. Mackenzie walks in.
Hello?
He takes off his ear protection.
Oh, hey.
Hey. I would have called, but I heard you don't answer your phone.
Now, why'd you hear that? Let me guess. Wilson.
He answers his phone.
Yes, Wilson, she's here. Yes, and yes.
He hangs up.
He and Betty ought to open a matchmaking business.
She looks around.
This is an amazing workshop.
It's more of a home office. We live right next door.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I kind of like restoring old stuff. You know, taking something that's forgotten and giving it a second life.
Early 1900s.
She grabs a piece from a table.
I could get you a good price for this.
But then I couldn't use it.
But you could use the money to buy a better one.
I like that one.
You really do get attached to things.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm here because...
Yeah, you want me to fix up the inn.
Wilson?
No, I figured you'd spend the night in the place and you'd come to your senses and want to keep it.
I'm not keeping it, but I don't want to see it torn down.
Well, if my brother sells it, it will be torn down.
But if we bring it back to the way it was, whoever buys it won't want to.
They will if they have no attachment to it.
It so happens that talking people out of things is what I'm good at.
Well, you're also good at talking people into things. I'm in.
You're available?
He looks at his palm.
Yeah.
And shows her that it's blank.
Yeah, wide open.
Great. And your rates?
Well, I wouldn't mind that stack of mahogany in the basement.
She looks amazed.
And?
And you could throw in some of Betty's cooking.
I was thinking more along the lines of money.
Oh, no. I'm good there.
Later, they step out of the shop. Clementine appears with Jenny.
Look who I found taking all the free samples.
Hi, Mac.
Jenny gives Mackenzie a hug as Ian stares at her.
She doesn't really like being called Mac.
Actually, it's starting to grow on me.
He turns to Mackenzie.
Dad, this is Clementine.
Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
So glad you changed your mind about the inn.
Well, let's just say you put a wrench in my plans.
Start tomorrow?
Deal. And bring your contractor along.
Okay. You in?
I don't want cheap.
I, on the other hand, do.
Mackenzie chuckles. Now she and Clementine work on the main steps of the inn as Ian drives Christmas trees up in his truck.
The rest of them are on the way.
Rest of what?
Clementine said you wanted 20 Christmas trees.
What? Clementine looks surprised.
Oh, that's a two, and that's a smiley face. Sorry.
That's okay. They're pretty and they smell better than plastic.
Yes, and there is no such thing as too many Christmas trees.
True.
And this place needs all the Christmas it can get.
Ready?
Yeah.
Ian grabs the trees from the truck. Clementine helps him carry one away as Jenny walks up to Mackenzie. Wilson holds the door for Ian and Clementine.
You know, there are elves here.
Elves?
Mackenzie glances at a large garden gnome in the snow.
Of course.
Later, she and Ian walk down the stairs.
Grandfather clock that won't chime, even the ice machine doesn't work.
We'll get to that.
Oh, did I mention that the linoleum in the laundry room is curling up?
I'll rip it up. There's hardwood underneath.
Oh, it'll be quicker if you nailed it down.
It's linoleum, you know. You can't use a crayon on the Mona Lisa.
See, I told you. He's too attached to this place.
Remain neutral. However, you don't see stucco ceilings on the Sistine Chapel.
Well put, Wilson.
We're gonna need paint, and a lot of it.
There's paint in the basement. Let me.
Wilson steps away.
I've done a room or two in my day.
Thanks, Wilson. The kitchen could use a once-over.
That is my turf.
Thank you, Betty.
Betty walks off.
Would anyone like to tackle the game room?
Clementine and Jenny raise their hands and scurry away.
All right, I guess I'll tack down that linoleum.
Oh, on second thought, rip it out.
He grins and steps away. Later, Jenny watches TV as Clementine looks over ornaments.
No, he doesn't have a nose.
Mackenzie enters.
Hey,
what are you watching?
Polarific. It's the number one show in North Pole.
Oh. Boy, this place never looked so good.
Well, you know, I wish I could take all the credit, but
this kid's in the snow zone.
I help my dad out all the time.
He is very lucky to have you.
Jenny switches off the TV.
But I think he's lonely.
You know, I grew up without a mom, too.
What happened to yours?
She left when I was a baby.
Why?
I don't know. I guess she didn't think she'd make a very good mother. But I had my dad and Aunt Grace.
And now you have us.
Mackenzie steps to a cupboard and opens it to an avalanche of games and toys.
Well, Aunt Grace always did like games.
Me too.
Me three.
What kind?
Oh, my favorite game was the ribbon game. On Christmas Eve, Aunt Grace would take a ribbon and she would string it all through the hotel and I would chase it to see where the ribbon led.
And where did it lead?
In a flashback, Aunt Grace chases Mackenzie through the house.
You know, I don't remember.
Can we do it?
Oh, goodness, I wouldn't even know where to begin. And we have a lot of work ahead of us.
Jenny looks disappointed. Mackenzie looks at her.
On the other hand, there's a lot of snow out front that needs to be moved around. I'll race you.
They all rush out. Now they wear their winter coats and rush out as Clementine stops. She steps into a room where Wilson patches a wall on a ladder.
I get all the cracks?
Yes. But I think you're missing something.
She reaches into her jacket and pulls out a large candy cane. As she dips it in the white paint, it gets a red swirl.
This is a little trick I learned at the Guild of Colorful.
I like your style, girl.
She waves the candy cane around and the walls transform into white and red stripes in a flurry of gold magic sparkles. Now Ian works on the floor in the laundry room. He peers out the window and sees Clementine, Jenny, and Mackenzie making a snowman. They put a scarf on him as Mackenzie produces two hats.
All right, and let's get a hat.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, no snowman is complete. He has a top hat. Okay, what do we think?
Ian walks to them as they place a hat on the snowman.
Right there, that one, yeah.
Oh. All right.
He puts a screwdriver into the snowman as a nose.
We ran out of carrots.
Wilson walks to the mantle in the inn and smiles at the ornament that now spins and glows. Huh. Outside, Harris drives up.
Yeah. I was thinking.
It's a nice snowman. I can't see it helping much, though. Maybe another 50 cents onto the purchase price.
We were just having a little fun.
Like, I don't mean to be a Scrooge, but clock's ticking.
Mackenzie and the others look disappointed. Inside, the ornament stops glowing and spinning. Wilson frowns. Outside.
He's right. I don't know what I was thinking. This place is never going to get finished.
Mackenzie steps away. Clementine chases after her.
But, I mean, we're making so much progress.
We're building a snowman. And unless he does plumbing and electrical, we're wasting our time.
We already have someone who does all of that. And more.
Mackenzie turns to Clementine, who points at Ian.
And he won't melt.
Clementine, I appreciate what you and Wilson are trying to do here, but there's no room in my life for Ian or even a snowman right now.
Well, you can make room.
I'm struggling just to fix up this inn, let alone myself.
Mackenzie steps away. Clementine looks upset and takes a breath. Clementine walks into her bedroom, takes off her toque. She grabs the PA mouthpiece.
North Pole? Come in, North Pole.
Lesbi walks up to Santa in the workshop.
It's Clementine, Fia.
Santa takes his mouthpiece.
Clementine, how goes it?
Operation Rekindle's underway.
I know I'm supposed to help Mackenzie help herself, but I need more help. Is there anyone up there that you can spare?
Sorry, Clem. We need all elves on deck up here.
Clementine looks disappointed.
There are those who live down south.
They're right in your neighborhood.
She smiles.
You know, I might just know a guy who knows a guy.
Later.
Jimmy!
She runs up to the young man with the tray of samples.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Are you busy tonight?
You're asking me out?
Not out. In. Like the inn.
Oh, so a working date.
More work than date.
I will be there.
She looks delighted.
Great.
At night, Mackenzie sleeps in her bed. She stirs and sits up. She looks astounded, then lies back down. In the morning, she walks down the stairs and suddenly looks surprised. Christmas decorations adorn the front desk as well as the nearby mirror. She smiles and walks through the kitchen where Wilson, Betty, Clementine, Jimmy, and the woman from the store laugh.
We came to say goodbye to the old place.
And for some of Betty's biscuits?
Mm-hmm. Oh, not at all. Make yourselves at home.
I can't remember not spending Christmas here.
Clementine pours Mackenzie some coffee.
I know what you mean. My last special memory of Christmas was in this place, too.
Here, have some coffee.
Thank you.
She drinks.
Good, thank you.
Yeah. Join us.
Oh, I wish I could, but I'm going to take these and go. Listen, did you hear any weird sounds last night?
Weird sounds? Nope. Slept like a log. Probably raccoons.
Sounded like hammering.
Raccoons with hammers. It happens.
Mackenzie smiles as Clementine grabs here. Two biscuits.
Some extra for Ian.
She places them on Mackenzie's already full plate. Mackenzie walks off as Clementine smiles at the others. Ian works on the lights in the ballroom as Mackenzie steps to him.
I smell biscuits.
The sconces weren't on the list.
I finally got them all working. I think they complete the room.
They're pretty.
Ian grabs a biscuit and steps away.
You know, with your skills, you could earn a lot in the city.
I tried that, not a good fit. Besides, I have everything I need here.
He steps to her and stands close, looking at her list.
What's next?
Later, they walk to the front desk.
Oh, and thank you for fixing the clock.
Oh, I didn't fix the clock.
It's working.
One minute.
She looks confused. In the kitchen, she uses the ice machine and looks at the cubes.
Oh.
Snowflake-shaped ice?
Huh.
Impressive.
Well, I appreciate that you think I have these skills, but no again.
They walk to the elevator.
How are you with elevators?
He presses a button and it works perfectly.
Apparently, pretty good.
He steps in.
Going up.
And she follows. He presses a button and the door closes.
How'd you do that?
I did.
Wilson stands with Clementine.
Give them a little more time together.
Wilson hits a switch and the elevator stops. Mackenzie trips into Ian's arms. He looks into her eyes.
How bad is this? I'm stuck on an elevator with a pretty girl.
I can't do this.
She steps away.
What?
Get involved. I'm leaving in a few days.
But you're here right now.
The thing is, I'm on a path, and this would be a left turn.
Well, maybe it's a right turn.
She turns serious and stares at him.
Trust me, it's easier if things are just business. That way no one gets hurt when it ends.
So you're worried about the end before we've even begun?
The elevator starts again. The door opens and she rushes out.
You don't understand.
Well, I'd like to.
He follows her as Wilson and Clementine eavesdrop with frowns.
It looks like we miscalculated.
Mackenzie walks into a large room.
The last relationship I had ended because I moved, and the one before that. That's what I do, I move.
You mean you run?
I've built my entire life around my career.
Yeah, and your career is getting rid of people's pasts, which, you know, it's okay, I guess. But what about you? You said the happiest time of your life was here.
Ian steps to her.
Look, whether it's me or not me, you can't live your life as a moving target. The moment is now. Don't miss it.
I'm sorry, I can't.
She steps away as he looks upset. At night, the inn twinkles with Christmas lights. Mackenzie stands in the window pensively. Clementine is on the PA.
Yes, Santa. My ice is totally cracked, but don't worry. I've got a plan.
Now she walks to Mackenzie.
Are you okay?
Mackenzie smiles.
I have a lot of decisions to make.
You know, I always make my best decisions while walking.
Later, they walk together toward the barn.
Such a beautiful night.
Mackenzie stops.
Did you hear that? Sounds like a horse.
Certainly horse-like.
Clementine smiles.
Let's go see.
She leads Mackenzie to the barn. She opens the door to reveal Randy strapped to the sled.
Oh!
Mackenzie gapes.
That's not a horse, that's...
Clementine walks to the sled and gets in.
Clem?
Mackenzie's eyes grow wide.
What's going on here?
You know what's going on. You've been in this seat before. Trust me.
She stares at Randy and walks slowly to the sled. As Clementine smiles, Mackenzie gets in.
You ready?
I think so.
Come on, Randy.
Mandy perks up and runs off, leaving a trail of white sparkle in his wake. Clementine and Mackenzie race over an icy landscape. Mackenzie looks amazed as they fly over a ridge, revealing the North Pole.
Whoa.
Clementine takes off her toque.
Welcome back to North Pole, Mackenzie.
Mackenzie smiles in disbelief as they race over the twinkling city. Later, they walk along one of the streets together, past several elves.
So it wasn't a dream.
I'd say more like a field trip.
It was real.
Was. And ew.
Mackenzie looks around in wonder.
I have so many questions.
Ask away. I'm all ears.
You are.
They walk around a corner. In the warehouse, Mackenzie looks amazed as she looks around.
This is the Guild of Bounce and Spring, one of the 12 guilds where we make all the toys for Christmas.
It's amazing.
It's home.
You grew up here?
Well, we don't really grow up here. You see, age is just a number. Most of us don't even keep track, really.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
I guess living in North Pole has its benefits.
So does working for Santa. Carlisle's maybe the top auction house, but Santa is the top toy distributor on the planet. Not to mention a legend.
Do you work in Santa's PR department?
No, Santa doesn't need PR. It's more like word of mouth.
Clementine waves at elves around the warehouse.
Why did you bring me here?
You see, a long time ago, you stopped believing. Don't worry, it happens to the best of you. The magic of Christmas can mean everything to a kid. But time passes and they start to forget. And suddenly it just becomes another day.
Clementine pulls a lever as white powder comes out of a pipe.
Like your aunt's hotel, but keep Christmas alive. It's more than just an inn. People count on it to be there year after year. It's a place with memories and tradition and magic. But that magic has gone out. Your aunt kept it alive. And she chose you to bring it back to life.
Me? But I don't know anything about magic.
Clementine gives her a knowing look and grabs a handful of the white powder.
The snow's magic.
The powder transforms into a red ball as Mackenzie gapes. Clementine bounces it and it flies off uncontrollably.
Give it a try.
Mackenzie smiles. She reaches into the white powder and holds it up. It transforms into a red slinky.
Clem, this wasn't me. It's this place. It's the snow.
You know, when your aunt first started at the inn, she was just like you. Hesitant, a little out of her comfort zone. But she learned along the way. Trust me, I have a very reliable source.
Santa appears behind them and smiles.
Santa.
Mackenzie, good to see you again.
You remember me?
My dear, I watched over your entire childhood. And?
He reaches into his pocket.
I've been holding on to this for you.
He hands her a letter. She opens it and reads.
Dear Mac, don't ever stop believing because I believe in you. Love, Aunt Grace.
Each innkeeper must find the magic in their own way. Grace did. You can do it, too.
Mackenzie looks down.
You can do this, Mackenzie.
I can do this.
That's great.
This is more important than you know.
Back to work.
Santa walks off.
So many toys, so little time.
Mackenzie looks unsure.
What are you thinking?
Well,
thinking I should call my boss and tell her there's been a change in plans.
At the end, Mackenzie rushes into the kitchen in a red sweater.
It smells good. Delicious.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
That looks suspiciously like a Christmas sweater.
Made by the best.
She points at Betty.
Thank you, my dear, and it's a perfect fit.
Did you hit your head or something?
Something.
Ian gives her a peculiar look. She glances at Clementine as Ian looks confused.
Look, I know I might have seemed a bit stressed the past few days.
No.
No.
Really?
But we're done with that. Because I'm keeping the inn.
Ian smiles.
Oh, my God. We're going to restore it back to what it was, and we're going to throw a grand reopening party on Christmas Eve.
I like where you're going with this.
Me too.
Well, it's only a few days until Christmas, so we'll have to get started right away.
Betty places a plate of food in front of them.
Right after we demolish these pancakes.
They all reach for the plate.
Yeah, we might lose a finger.
Perfect trees, Betty.
Clementine, Jenny, and Mackenzie decorate a tree at the inn. Ian and Wilson walk in with boxes.
Grace may have been a hoarder.
Well, you can never have too many ornaments.
Jenny, speaking of ornaments, I want to show you something.
Mackenzie walks Jenny to the mantel.
This was my Aunt Grace's favorite ornament. It used to spin.
The lights turn on the tree as everyone looks delighted.
Oh, boy, that brings back memories.
The last time I did this, I was your age.
What happened to all of the Christmases since then?
I guess I lost my way a little.
Mackenzie steps away. Jenny walks to her with a mug.
Cocoa. It always makes me happy.
Thank you, Jenny.
Clementine turns and speaks into a walkie-talkie.
Department of Good Deeds, we've got another kind act.
Now at the North Pole, the elves in the warehouse look surprised.
Wow, somebody's sure racking up the good deeds.
A photo of Jenny appears on a screen with the words, "Very nice." At the end, Jenny dusts the piano as Clementine walks to her with cookies. Jenny takes a cookie. Clementine eavesdrops as Ian and Mackenzie work together. She walks to them with the cookies and offers some. Later, Ian, Mackenzie, Clementine, and Jenny string lights and trees outside.
Looking great, Jenny.
Ian hits Clementine with a snowball.
It's on!
She throws one back and he starts a snowball fight. As she bends, her hat falls, revealing her ears.
Mackenzie? Chino?
She quickly puts the hat on her head.
You didn't hear it from me.
Jenny smiles as she and Mackenzie join the fight.
Everybody won!
Later, Mackenzie and Ian walk across the street in the town.
Do you think we have enough decorations?
You have enough presents.
Okay, just two more left.
She places a sign on a pole as an old couple walks past.
I haven't missed one of those for over 50 years.
Well, we hope to see you this Christmas Eve, too.
Mackenzie and Ian walk off.
You know, Aunt Grace, she sure did touch a lot of lives.
Including mine. The inn's a big part of this town.
She posts another sign.
And everyone in it.
No pressure there.
Oh, we can handle it.
I don't know if it's the holidays and the Christmas spirit, but this town and the people in it are very special.
He smiles at her.
Guys.
The woman from the shop appears.
Are the rumors true?
Rumors? What rumors?
The Northern Lights Christmas party is back on?
Yes, Susie, it's back on.
Great. I'll spread the news. Oh, by the way, you guys make a great couple.
Susie walks off.
The downside of a small town. Nosy neighbors. We should get back. Betty.
At night, everyone sits around the table.
Thank you. Delicious meal.
You guys should spend the night. No reason to go out in that snow.
Hey, how's the sleepover sound, huh?
Sleepover?
Yeah.
Jenny rushes off as everyone follows her into the main foyer.
We sure have enough rooms, don't we, Wilson?
Oh, that we have.
Mackenzie walks off as Clementine and Wilson turn to the mantle. The ornament glows brightly under the portrait of Grace. Wilson and Clementine smile and snap their fingers. Now Mackenzie reads to Jenny.
Happy Christmas to all and to all.
Ian appears at the door.
Mac, you're not like your mom. You make a very good mother.
Mackenzie smiles.
Thank you, Jenny. Get some sleep.
Jenny lies back as Mackenzie joins Ian in the hallway.
Good night. Good night.
Like I said, she's relentless, but hardly ever wrong.
Ian glances at Mackenzie, who smiles.
Good night.
Good night.
He steps away and watches her as she stops at her door. They both walk off separately. Now Mackenzie answers her phone.
Taylor, Merry Christmas.
Where are you? You don't sound like yourself.
About that, I have some news.
Well, I have bigger news.
You've been tapped to run the London office.
What?
The crown jewel of Carlisle's. You've been working for this your whole life, and now it's here.
Of course, you'd have to leave everything behind, but that's what you're good at.
Taylor, that's an amazing offer, but I can't.
Very funny.
I'm gonna need you on a plane to London by Christmas. Okay, well, I gotta go.
Another horrendous holiday party awaits.
Taylor hangs up. Mackenzie looks shocked. Later.
Come in.
Clementine walks into Mackenzie's room.
Hey. I made you an extra one.
Oh, thanks, Clem.
Yeah.
She hands her a mug.
Is something wrong?
I just got offered a job I've been working my whole life for.
But...
Clementine sits.
I thought you already took the job of a lifetime. You know, the guy in the suit.
This is someone else in a suit. The thing is, I can decorate trees and clean shelves, but that doesn't make magic. What if I can't figure out what does?
Clementine turns serious.
I've been letting down so many people. The town, Aunt Grace, Betty and Wilson. I've been letting down Santa.
But you won't let them down.
Clementine smiles.
I hope you're right.
Night.
Good night.
Then walks off. Mackenzie stands and walks to her window. She peers out pensively. In daytime, Mackenzie places presents under a tree as Ian walks to her.
Good morning.
I know what that is.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
He takes a wrapped parcel from her and shakes it.
Yeah, it's a new wood chisel.
She gapes.
Thanks.
Did you see me buy it?
Maybe.
She takes the box and whacks him. He flips a switch and all the lights go on.
You fixed the lights.
And the music.
He flicks another switch. He walks to her and holds out his hand. She takes it, looking serious, and he leads her to the dance floor. They dance and stare into each other's eyes in the large ballroom. In to kiss her as suddenly all the power goes out.
Oh, no.
Must have tripped a breaker. Don't go anywhere.
I won't.
He steps away as she looks frustrated. She rolls her eyes and answers her phone to Taylor, who walks into the office.
Taylor, I've already given you my answer.
Which I don't accept. This is nothing more than holiday syndrome. Old memories, new presents. Talk to me when you're surrounded by torn wrapping paper and fruitcake crumbs.
Ian makes his way to the electrical box and opens it. It smokes and he looks discouraged.
Fine, I'll write it down. Hold on.
Meanwhile, Mackenzie writes on her hand.
Okay, flight 17. Yes, gate 43. Got it. Okay, thanks.
She hangs up with a heavy look. Ian walks up to her.
It's worse than I thought. The whole panel's shot.
How long will it take to fix?
Well, at least a week, if I can get the parts.
So we've got a grand reopening in 3 days and we don't have any electricity.
He notices the writing on her hand and gives her a quizzical look.
You going somewhere?
No, it's just it's a job offer in London.
You're leaving on Christmas?
That's when the flight leaves.
With you on it?
No.
Pick up and move. You warned me.
No.
She gives her phone a frustrated look.
My brother. Perfect timing. Tell him you're ready to sell.
He walks off as she looks upset.
I'll be back tomorrow to pull out that panel.
She answers the phone.
Harris. What? No. No, you're not interrupting anything.
At night in her room, Clementine listens to the radio lying on her bed.
And live from North Pole, this just in. Tomorrow night, Santa starts loading his sleigh. Just 2 days to go until the big day. Meanwhile, come get in the spirit at the Deer's Ears for Snowco Sunday. That's right, that's this Sunday at the Deer's Ears. We're expecting a lot of people to come out, so be sure to show up.
She sits up. Mackenzie stands outside the inn as Clementine walks to her.
I don't know what made me think I could do this. I messed things up with Ian. And now the Northern Lights Mountain Inn doesn't even have lights. Let's face it, whatever magic my aunt had, I don't.
Now, you may not realize it, but you're really good at this. And you can't give up now.
Maybe the next owner will get it right.
The next owner?
According to Harris, he's agreed to keep the place open and keep Betty and Wilson on. What more could we ask for?
You.
I'm sorry, Clem. Please put the word out that the grand reopening is off.
Mackenzie walks into the inn as Clementine looks around. In daytime, Harris shows Mackenzie some papers at the front desk.
Well, as you can see, it's a very fair offer.
Ian enters.
Ian.
Sorry to interrupt your big sale.
No, you're not.
Just getting the panel, I'll be out of your hair.
He gives them both hard looks and walks off.
Excuse me.
Mackenzie follows him to the basement.
Sorry how we left things.
Me too. Two different worlds, I guess.
Not so different.
Small town guy with an old truck and a big city exec.
She looks down.
Good luck, Mackenzie.
He steps past her and up the stairs. Later, she walks to Harris in a sitting room.
Second thoughts?
I guess I've grown attached.
Yeah, it'll pass.
She signs a paper and hands it to him. He puts it in his case and leaves. Outside, Ian packs the back of his truck as Mackenzie watches him sadly through a window. In daytime, Wilson steps up to Clementine at the inn. She turns to him, looking sad.
I can't believe I failed. I was supposed to help her find her way.
Missions are funny.
He steps to her.
They don't always work out the way you think.
But this one was so important.
I had a special mission once. I was a little older than you are when Santa told me about a new hotel owner that needed some help.
Grace?
After a while, you don't know if the mission's over or if it's still going on. It just kind of gets mixed up with life. So you see, Clementine, sometimes the mission's only over when you say it's over.
Clementine turns pensive.
Wilson? I'm going polar.
That's my girl.
She smiles. Now Santa's sleigh is loaded with presents as she walks up to Santa.
How goes it down south?
Unless I figure out something soon, you may have to reroute your entire flight plan. How can you get someone to see what they can't?
You have to give them the opportunity to think it through for themselves.
And if they don't come around?
Then you be their light in the darkness.
Snow MG. I can help light the way.
As bright as you want.
Thanks, Santa.
Clementine runs off. Now a North Pole warehouse glows with colorful lights. Clementine wears goggles and walks through it and up to an elf in a glass bubble.
Clementine, what brings you here?
I need to help someone see the light.
Of course, my dear. We have just the thing.
I knew you would. And by the way, do you have any ribbon?
In daytime, Clementine walks from the barn to the inn. Inside, Mackenzie packs the framed photo of her and Grace, then shuts her suitcase. She sighs sadly and looks around. Later, she walks down the stairs where Wilson, Betty, Ian, and Clementine greet her.
We're sorry to see you go.
I'm gonna miss all of you very much.
Your favorite, gingerbread cookies.
Betty hands her a box.
Thank you,
Wilson
Betty.
Holds up skates.
You might use these in London. They were your aunt's skates.
How thoughtful, Wilson.
She turns to Jenny, who holds up an ornament.
This is a gift for your next Christmas tree.
Oh, I love it, Jenny. Thank you.
Jenny smiles as Mackenzie turns to Ian, who holds up a piece of wood with a drawing of the inn burnt into it.
So you don't forget this place.
It's beautiful.
She hugs him.
But I can never forget about this place, or any of you.
She turns to Clementine.
Mackenzie, all this time you've compared yourself to your aunt, when really you shouldn't. Because no two snowflakes are ever alike.
Thanks, Clem.
This is just a little something I picked up. Canada adjacent.
Clementine pulls out a red ribbon. Mackenzie looks surprised.
It's not worth much, but...
Actually, Clem, it's priceless.
Mackenzie turns to Jenny.
How would you like to play a game?
Who nods excitedly.
Oh, Jenny, slow down.
Later, Mackenzie chases Jenny, who follows a ribbon through the halls of the inn.
You're too fast.
Jenny rushes around the tree with Mackenzie in tow. Now she rushes through the kitchen.
Hurry, Mackenzie. Oh, good choice.
In the flashback, Grace follows young Mackenzie past the glowing ornament.
Oh, slow down.
In the present, Mackenzie chases Jenny up the stairs. They stop as the ribbon ends at a wall.
What do you see?
Jenny looks around at a snowflake wallpaper.
Nothing. Just snowflakes.
Exactly. As you're running down the path of life, don't forget to stop and look at the snowflakes, because they're not all the same. Can you find the one that's different?
Jenny looks around and touches one of the flakes. It opens a glowing portal to a red and white slide.
Do you want to go?
Yeah.
Mackenzie leaps onto the slide as Jenny follows her. They slide down more quickly and swirl through a magical world, then emerge near the front desk where Wilson catches them. Betty and Clementine are there.
We're right back to where we started.
Exactly. Happiness isn't a destination, it's the journey along the way.
Wilson looks impressed. The ornament glows bright.
You guys knew all along what Aunt Grace was trying to teach me, didn't you?
With a little help from North Pole.
Mackenzie gapes.
But that would make you...
Wilson uncovers his pointy ear.
Wilson!
He bows. She turns to Betty.
You too?
Nope. Betty shows her a normal ear.
Just an elf wannabe.
Ian appears.
What'd I miss?
Just me discovering what's been in front of me the whole time.
She steps to him.
What is that?
Everything.
She leans in and kisses him as Clementine covers Jenny's eyes.
Wow. You should say goodbye more often.
Oh, this isn't goodbye. It's hello.
Harris enters.
I thought you were leaving.
Harris, I can't sell this place.
You signed a contract.
Contracts can be broken.
Mackenzie, this deal's done. My buyer's taking possession tomorrow night.
Mackenzie looks upset.
Tomorrow.
Mackenzie faces Harris.
Well, that's when he's flying in. And, you know, he's anxious to get his hands on the place.
I'll have to change his mind.
Good luck with that. I mean, I haven't met him in person, but I can tell you from our phone conversations, he's very determined.
If there's one thing I'm good at, it's talking people out of things.
Or into them. Now, can we please get ready for the party tomorrow night?
Mackenzie looks surprised.
I thought you canceled it.
You may have had your doubts, but I always had faith in you.
So we're throwing a party without any lights, power, or food, and I may not even be the owner.
Exactly.
Mackenzie steps to her.
Oh, I like your attitude, Clementine. When this inn was built, there was no electricity, no heater, no... refrigerator, no elevator.
So not that different from now.
And yet people still came.
She peers at Ian, who nods.
And even though we don't have a single guest, a single paying guest, the Northern Lights is overbooked with two things that matter most, friendship and love. So I say, forget about the list, forget about the new owner. We have a party to throw, and the only must-do is fun.
Wilson and Betty look pleased as Harris smiles.
I haven't seen this place so alive in years.
Oh, well, we could always use another hand. I have a tool belt with your name on it in the truck, literally.
You wore a tool belt?
Yeah, we used to work together before you got that real estate license.
Hey, who do you think taught him how to drywall?
Later, Jenny and Mackenzie drape a red tablecloth over a small table. Ian carries a case of glasses to the ballroom where he and Harris set a table. In the kitchen, Clementine and Jimmy ice cupcakes.
It's been a while since I've been up north.
Oh, really? Well, you should come and visit.
Maybe I will.
She looks delighted.
Oh.
Taylor, thanks for calling me back.
Now, Mackenzie is on the phone outside the inn.
I'm not coming to London. In fact, I'm not coming back to Carlisle's at all.
Okay, how much eggnog have you had?
Ian walks to her.
Thing is, instead of being the new you, I'd rather be the new me.
I hope you know what you're giving up.
Oh, but I'm getting so much more.
Mackenzie smiles at him and hangs up.
If you can't, Grace will be proud.
I think so, too.
Mackenzie squints and looks to the side. In the distance, cars drive toward the inn.
Are those Christmas lights?
Headlights.
They smile at one another. She walks off.
Looks like we have guests.
Inside, Betty, Wilson, Jenny, and Harris light candles around the ballroom. Mackenzie and Ian walk in with Clementine.
I don't think we have enough candles.
Don't worry. I've got something even better.
Clementine holds up a red pouch.
But I'm going to need your help, Jenny.
Me?
Yes.
She walks off as Mackenzie shakes her head.
Come with me.
She walks to the side with Jenny.
Okay. Take a handful and throw it as high as you can.
Jenny reaches into the pouch, then steps to the Christmas tree. As she tosses her hand upward, a vortex of white sparks shoot to the ceiling and illuminate the room. Paris, Ian, and Mackenzie gape as Jenny smiles.
Where'd you get this stuff?
I'll show you one day.
Later, several guests mill around the ballroom. Peter walks to Mackenzie.
Mr. Elfman.
My dear, you've done wonders with this place.
Mr. Elfman.
He smiles knowingly, then steps away as Harris walks over.
It's him. He's about to touch down, and he doesn't sound pleased.
Thank you.
She takes the phone and steps into another room.
This is Mackenzie Warren.
So what's all this about having a change of heart?
You're right. It's highly unprofessional, and I know that we had an agreement.
Have an agreement?
Please. It's just sometimes it takes a little time to see some things clearly, like to discover new friends you never expected to find, and how amazing it is to be part of a family.
She peers into the room and glances at the happy scene.
And to finally meet someone who makes you laugh and remember what's truly important. I don't know why it's taken me so long, but I have finally figured out where I belong, and it's right here.
So you're saying your mind's made up?
That's right.
Well, that's all I wanted to hear.
Suddenly, she looks to the side with a frown. She rushes out of the inn and watches as Santa's sleigh touches down nearby. Mackenzie runs over to him.
Santa? You're the buyer?
Clementine runs to them.
Location, location.
I don't understand.
Well, you had to make a true commitment. And you did. Not only did you save the inn, you saved Christmas. And what I couldn't tell you was, the magic you restored here is going to power my sleigh tonight. As it does in outposts all around the world. So, as the new innkeeper of the Northern Lights Mountain Inn, you have my deepest gratitude.
Thank you, Santa. And let's go with Mac.
Santa giggles and turns to Clementine.
Well done, Clementine. You are a rising star.
She gapes with delight.
A rising star? The sound of that, Santa.
Well, I've got a big trip tonight, and thanks to you, it'll be a journey that I can make just fine. Now, look behind you.
They turn and look at the inn.
As the magic is restored, the hotel is too.
It glows wondrously in white lights. Jenny appears at the door. Santa waves.
Jenny!
Santa?
You never know where the next innkeeper's coming from. I've heard that she's done some very good deeds. Merry Christmas, Jenny!
Merry Christmas!
Santa walks off as Clementine smiles sweetly and turns to Mackenzie.
I knew you could do it, Mac. Thank you, Clem.
They hug warmly.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Clementine runs off as Mackenzie watches Santa take off in the night sky.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas! Ho, 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 ho.
As Ian walks through the house, the ornament on the mantle glows and spins brightly. He steps out to Mackenzie.
What's going on out here?
If I told you, you'd probably think I was crazy.
Maybe I like crazy.
Maybe I do too.
He leans into her and kisses her as she wraps her arms around his neck. As they kiss, the lights from the inn swirl up to the night in a magical, sparkling vortex. Santa's sleigh leaves a trail of white magic crystals as it dashes away. End credits. Described video created by John Halber Productions, Toronto.